Good afternoon. This is the Pacifica Foundation National Finance Committee. Today is Wednesday, September the 26th, 2007. This is the telephone conference of our meeting of the National Finance Committee. My name is LaVarne Williams, and I'm chair. What we'd like to do is we'd like to have roll call, and we will start by introducing the secretary of the committee. It's Terry Goodman.
Calling Dave Adelson.
Here.
Barudi Bediako.
Here.
Brian Edwards Tiekert. Absent. Jane Gatewood.
Here.
Terry Goodman is here. Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Mike Martin. Absent. Sandra Rowline. Absent. Bertold Reimers. Absent. LaVarne Williams.
Sandra
is now here.
Hey, I'm sorry to be late, folks. I am at the KPFT local station board delegates meeting. We're discussing the bylaws amendments to vote on them at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So how many people are on the call?
We have, with you, there are seven.
Okay. Is Mike Martin on the call?
No.
Okay. What I'm going to do is go off and call him, and because he's not here.
Okay.
So I'm going to call him to see if he can get on the call, and I will try to listen in and participate as best I can, given both meetings happening at the same time.
Sandra,
okay.
I appreciate that.
Sandra, you should know that he probably didn't get – I noticed that the emails people sent out, Lonnie and others, were mailed to Bob, not to Mike. So
the agenda and everything that I mail out goes directly to Mike Martin. His email address is mmartin@mmmllp.com.
Great.
So he did get it. So, yeah.
Good.
In fact, Lonnie is – I guess we can just forward that. But it's definitely on mine.
Yes, I see.
So the others, I don't know who those others would be, but mine definitely goes to Mike.
Okay, well, let me try to call him and see if he can log on.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, thank you, Sandra, and thank you, Terry. Okay, so we did send out an agenda.
Yeah,
hi, Bertold. Thank you. Welcome. I'm sorry, that's Terry's position there.
Hi, how you doing?
Terrific. We're on the stream, and welcome aboard.
Yes, okay.
Welcome aboard, and we've just gone through the roll call.
Brian.
And Brian is there. Welcome,
I'm going to be mostly tuned out. I'm still on deadline. I'll be with you later.
Okay, cool. Thanks for checking in. Okay, and we have just gone through roll call, and the next item on the agenda, and I guess we should, is the approval of minutes, are considering approving the agenda. The agenda basically is, since it's a meeting that continued from last week, that so therefore the agenda basically is the is the remaining items on the agenda from the prior week. But so should we go through approval of agenda? Are there any issues, additions?
Let's see. Thanks for separating out 15 minutes. How long will, did we time out the executive session, 10:30? So
it said 9:35 to 10:30.
Okay.
I sent a document. Did anybody receive it?
I think some people received it. Baruti, did you send the document that Bertold had sent?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So, yeah, Baruti sent it. I just received it. I apologize. I was out of town. I was in Houston on family business, and I just didn't really have access to my email, to the one that I use for Pacifica Business, so it was, like, full. But thank you for resending. Okay, so, again, on the agenda, we do have it separate. You see that for the closed session that is set to begin at 9:35 Eastern Daylight Time. Okay, are there any additions, revisions, updates on the agenda?
I move accepted.
Okay, it's been moved to approve the agenda.
I
I'd like to do the PRA and the national office stuff prior to doing the WBI and WPFW budgets, because we're the only body that is reviewing the national office budget, and I'm just concerned that we'll chew up a lot of time. Also, I can't stay past 7 p.m. Pacific time, so I'd like to move reversing the order and putting the national office budget before PFW and BAI.
Okay, there's a request basically to move national office from C to A. Is there any discussion? Is there any issues with this? Okay, so then we'll rearrange to put national offices A and move the others down to B and C.
Lonnie? Yeah, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
I see affiliates is on the agenda. This is new.
What?
Under B, affiliates, 4B, or is it 4C, D, something
four,
like that,
four
PRA?
4C, okay. That's when we talked last at the last meeting, and I sent this out then, was to make sure we had national office budget. You would not like to consider discuss the affiliates separately or PRA separately? Is that
I'd like to do PRA, but I'm not prepared to talk about the affiliates separately. I'm not sure I even know what that item is.
I'm sorry.
Sandra?
Hi, thank you. I'm not sure when you say you don't know what the affiliates is.
Yeah, they don't have a separate budget as far as I'm aware.
Well, after the point where you are supposed to prepare a separate budget going forward and present it for consideration, that was passed at the national board.
Yeah, that was the motion.
Yeah, that was supposed to go to the board. I have that ready for the board, but I didn't have it ready for here because it came from the board.
But that was a motion that I actually moved, was to have it separate. And that was like a couple of, that wasn't just this past meeting, that was, I'm sure, the prior meeting of the PNB. So you're saying that you have a budget separate, I mean, so who will discuss it at the PNB? I don't have the latest agenda. You have on the agenda of finance discussions, and then in terms of approving the budget, you have a separate one for the affiliates?
Yeah, I was going to go over the cost of that program.
Is that new?
Huh?
Because the agenda that I have is posted by Terry, and it's on the National Finance Committee Yahoo group, and I don't have those two items.
Yeah, the one that we sent.
I mean, I just printed it like 10 minutes ago. I don't have those two items on there.
Yeah, LeBarn sent out one shortly after I sent out one.
Oh, okay.
But this is the one actually I sent out last, when our last meeting was last Thursday. I sent this out like Friday 8 a.m. So this is, and I just, this is the one that I sent out last Friday a.m. So this is the, and then I just resent it today as a reminder. So I can, or do you have access to your computer, Baruti? I mean, I'm sorry, LeVarn. I'm LeVarn, you're Berto. Do you have access?
You can send it to Kalu Design.
Okay. All right.
I thought like that.
Right. Okay. I'll send it now. let's just get back to. So you said you're not prepared to discuss the affiliates tonight.
Yeah,
so you prefer not to run this by the finance committee?
Well, it was a proposal, as I understood it, coming from the board.
No,
right?
the motion was from me.
Yeah, but it came from the board.
Okay. So basically, Lonnie is like, do you want to show? I mean, is there like technically it's not, maybe not, but do you want to show consideration to this body since it's going to come here anyways again, and we're not going to vote on it or anything.
My feeling is that several units and individuals want their own departments and they want their own budget, and I'm reluctant to prepare a departmental budget for a department that's not been approved by the board. I want to have that debate on whether or not there ought to be a separate budget and a separate department at the board.
Oh, so basically your presentation on the PR affiliate is not going to be about the budget itself. It's about, you know, you're opposing that.
Yeah, there is no such separate department, but people are opposing it, and I think that ought to be debated at the board level.
Okay.
But I don't, you know, the debate was, you know, the debate, the time for debate was at the time of the motion, and the motion passed. So I don't think there is time for debate then. But you know what? Look, we need to move. We've spent enough time on this. So basically, when you discuss the national office budget, you are not prepared to roll out a separate budget for the affiliates, but you can discuss the plan, the budget for the affiliate program as currently set up.
Yes, I was going to show expenses and talk with the board about the implications of it rather than assume it's going to be part of the budget.
This is Dave.
Yeah, please.
The board will just, if it's anything that requires extensive discussion, is going to want the finance committee to have made a recommendation on it. They'll just kick it to the finance committee. So I think if we have to have that discussion, since it's on the agenda, let's have it in the portion of the agenda that it's on. Yeah, I mean, it's been allotted to it, and we can decide whether or not we have sufficient information to make a recommendation to the board. But the board's going to want our input on it, and it is on our agenda.
Yeah, I don't remember it being on there. It took me by surprise.
This is the same agenda that I sent out last Friday. This is the exact agenda, and I just copied it and resent it as a reminder today.
Let's see what we can do.
I appreciate
I'll state my view on it.
That's all we need, and I appreciate you considering it this time.
I don't want to hold you up, but I will state my strong opinion about it.
Okay, that's you know, well, we need to just, as Dave said and as Bertolt said, we need to discuss it. So let me just and can I just take 1 minute? I don't have the email address, Bertolt. So if you could just do that one more time, I can't even bring it up.
You can send it to the finance Yahoo group.
Okay. All right.
And I'll go in there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other revisions? There was a motion to approve the agenda, so are there any other discussion points before we move? Okay. Since there, I hear none, so therefore it has been moved and to approve the agenda. So therefore, there's no. So therefore, the agenda. are there anyone who would like to? Is this unanimous? I'm sorry, I'm trying to get it together tonight. Is this unanimous? Is there anyone who would not like to approve the agenda? Okay, so moved. Thank you. So the next item on the agenda is the next regular meeting, and that's set for Thursday, October the 25th at 8 p.m. I guess it's still Eastern Daylight Time. Or is there any discussion about the next meeting? Okay, it's also on the KPFTX calendar, and maybe at some point we can discuss that. But there's no discussion? Okay, are there any objections?
Of what?
The next meeting. Thursday, October the 25th.
None.
Okay, thank you. So I would like to entertain a motion to approve. Thank you. So moved. Are there any objections? No, thank you. Next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, October 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The next item on the agenda is basically the CFO Lonnie Hicks report, which is in the 2008 budget. Terry.
It's proper at an adjourned meeting to approve the minutes of the initial part of that meeting from which it was adjourned.
Okay.
And I did prepare minutes for our last meeting and will move their approval.
All right. Is there any discussion? Yeah, has everyone had an opportunity to look at them? Is there any discussion? Are there any objections to approving the minutes of Thursday, September the, whatever that date was, the 20, I'm sorry, not Thursday, it was Wednesday, right?
I forget.
Yeah, it was, today is Wednesday, today is the 25th, so that was 18th. Okay, I don't hear, are there any objections? I hear no objections, so therefore, so it's been approved, and I mean, it's been, so therefore, the item is moved. Thank you. Okay. So the next then would be the CFO report, which is basically the 2008 budgets, consideration of the budgets, including the national office budget, WBAI, WPFW, and we also want to look at fiscal year 2007, the full year, the final forecast for this fiscal year, and can review some of the year-to-date actuals. Okay. Lonnie, are you prepared?
Yeah, where do we want to start, you know?
We want to start with the budgets, I believe. And David asked that we consider the national office budget.
Yeah.
Does everyone have that in front of them?
Yeah, I have, the national office budget, but it was in two parts, Madam Chair. One of them is the budget as it part of the consolidated income statement. The other part I sent out was a confidential document dealing with salaries and other issues. And I was thinking that would be in the executive session.
Okay.
So if you like, I can go over the general consolidated budget for the national office. Which I think I had done partially, but let me go over it again just so we're clear on the broad outlines, and then we can do the detail around salaries, I guess, in executive session. So I'm reading from the document, Pacifica Foundation 2008 Consolidated Budget. I sent that out, and it has the forecast for 07 and the budget for 08 in it. And the national office portion of it begins at row 957.
Okay, proceed. I'm trying to pull mine up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to go over the broad outlines of how the national office budget works in general and what some of the challenges are.
Powers. One of them is pointed at Iran, which borders Azerbaijan. The other is pointed
Brian,
at Chechnya.
Brian, might want to put on,
so
on mute.
So you have a small footprint deployment, as they refer to it, of Blackwater. It's not
I
US
thought
military.
That he was talking about our budget.
They go into a very strategic nation, both for the oil and for its proximity
budget.
To Iran. And this is part of a broader strategy of the United States using...
Proceed, I'll get my cell phone.
Central Asia.
If you can call...
Operating bases, and also getting agreements with these repressive governments to use their territory to go in and out. And what the U.S. is doing is propping up these human rights abusing governments like that of Azerbaijan in return for allowing their presence on their soil.
Can we speak louder, please?
You rightly could expect that in the event of a U.S. attack against Iran, that the command and control center in Azerbaijan could play a central role.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and we'll be back with Jeremy Scahill in one moment.
Four winds, seven seas, relative humanity. Everywhere I look, I see someone looking back at me.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gone now.
Okay,
I was just starting out with the national office budget in terms of row 962.
Can you speak louder, please?
Yeah, I'm looking at row 962 in the document Pacifica Foundation 2008 Consolidated Budget. And we're going to start with column of Y, which has the revenue forecast for FY07, which ends in a week or so, and then the budget month by month with column CL giving the budget for FY08. So you can see a direct contrast between the results for this fiscal compared to what's proposed as a budget for next fiscal, but it also has audit results for 06, 05, and 04. So you can see across 3 years of not only audit, but also the budgets that were proposed. You can see whether or not the budgeting process was working. The things I just wanted to cover in the national office budget is that you notice of the $1.4 million that we receive in terms of income, $791,000 will come from mail drops, basically. And then listener support is like gifts or donations. And that, you see that that figure is $138,000. We have a small corporate match, $2,500. List rental income is at $30,000. Grants income, sales income from the affiliates, $206,000. And then the SDA dollars, about $246,000. The total income for 07 will be $1.4 million. Next year, going up about $60,000 to $1.5 million. So it's a modest increase in revenue, and so its revenue is going to be flat between 07 and what's proposed for 08. Central services income, $2.2 million, almost 2.3, rounded off, it's $2.3 million. So the total budget, total income is $3.7 million. I wanted to point out that central service income is only $2.3 million on a budget of $3.7. And the reason that's necessary is that central service income is only two-thirds of what the expenses are in the national office. So we've had to go out and raise money, not only because the central service income doesn't adequately cover expenses, which go up every year, but because central service income is very volatile. If stations have a bad drive, central service income goes down the very next month. And that is terrible on a budget when you're trying to, if there's a major budget shortfall or revenue, if drive goals don't meet budget, say, for two or three stations, as it did last year, that's $200,000 or $300,000, and we're 20% of that amount, so it was $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 in last year shortfall. So where do you find those funds on such short notice? The very next month, the funds, as anticipated, don't come in after a drive is completed. So what we have to do is have a reserve ready for those eventualities, number one. Number two, the reason you have to raise at least 3 months is because stations take 3 months to pay, but the expenses in a corporate office have to be paid 100% every month. So, you know, you really have a situation where these finances are structured at Pacifica. The national office functions as a banker to the station. That is to say, things like health care, we pay the health care bill 100% in advance and then try to collect the costs from the station. Well, the stations can't pay all at once. They take 3 months in order to accumulate the funds from a drive, sometimes longer. Well, that creates a cash flow problem for the national office built into the structure of how we fund the activities. And if you add the float, what we call the float, it's a three-month float. And a three-month float, which is never actually retrieved, because you always in arrears 3 months in trying to pay the bills in the national office because it takes 3 months to collect the revenue. So we've had to go out and raise close to $1 million, which is about 3 months, because that's how long it takes for us to get paid. If stations, for whatever reasons, don't have reserves, and aren't able to pay central services, we have an additional problem. That is to say, not only are the funds not only are they slow in coming, sometimes they don't come at all if stations are unable to meet the central service obligation. So it's a very precarious financial situation for a national organization. People say, well, what happens if you don't pay the insurance or workers' comp? The state will not allow you to operate. You can't operate without certain kind of insurances in the state of California. So you must pay those bills. Another must-pay bill is legal bills. If settlements are reached and amounts are engendered, our attorney, corporate attorney, is involved in that. And, of course, there are expenses that flow from that. Some of it, of course, is accrued to the stations, but some of it is ours indeed. So certain bills are compulsory, not optional. You can't sort of stretch those folks or not pay them, although I've done it in the past. So that's the reason that we raise 2 or 3 months, because we need that just to break even in terms of having cash on hand. Now, the last point I'll make about it, because people have asked me about it so often, is stations in being able to pay their central services essentially over time, the national office is serving as banker, as I mentioned, but also it has allowed stations to accumulate reserves because they're paying They're paying one-third at a time. So their reserves can grow because they're not having to pay 100% of all the bills that come in each month. They can pay it out over time. It's like buying a car on an installment plan. Salaries. Gross salaries, $879 for 07, going up to $928. And the reason is we're annualizing salaries for our national program coordinator, our national technical director. These salaries, when we hired these folks, some of them were mid-year or not entirely during the year. Now they're going up and annualized. So we have added two FTEs, 2.5 FTEs to the national office, and here's where it'll show. But also because in the 08 budget, we will have we'll have severance money we'll have to pay out. And it'll show up for a time with a double salary cost for an ED. And it shows up as an increase to the budget, although not permanent. Let's see. So one point, but despite that, we go in FY07 from 1.24 to 1.296, so a modest $50,000 increase despite the other issues I had mentioned. National board expenses, $219,000 in, I'm reading from line 1007, column Y, $219,000 in 07 going to $216,000 in 08, slightly down, and that's because we're trying to reduce our expenses on the board side. But I would point out that total board expenses in FY04, that is audits, you read from column DR 10-1007, were only $100,000. $106,000 in 04, and went up to $186,000 in 05, $230,000 in 06, and slightly down in 07 to $219,000. And part of it, as you can probably guess, is coming from meeting and travel expenses, but also legal. Legal expenses are up. And they moved, let me see what legal was in 04. Legal was virtually non-existent in 04. Then in 05, they go to $12,000, 06, $9,000, but in 07, $43,000 in legal. Fourfold increase. So legal is a factor. The elections, 200 elections cost the network $118,000 in 04. In 05, $187,000. In 06, $231,000. In 07, we're forecasting $225,000. But 08, $292,000. Why? Why the jump in board and lab election costs? Because we are hiring our local election supervisors 1 to 2 months earlier than we did in the past. And the same thing will be true for the national election supervisors. We will virtually have those people on board for 5 to 6 months. Whereas before, we were doing 3-4 months sometimes. And the cost for the salaries go up, too, because people, we thought those jobs are part-time, and they're turning out not to be exactly the case at some point. So, costs go up. We go down to administrative, and I'll be quick. I don't want to go into too much detail, but I just want to point to you where the large dollar costs are in the national office budget. Line 1022 is insurance, $217,000.
Lonnie?
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, yeah.
About the elections?
Yeah.
At BAI, in the past, Steve Brown and a few of us, you're supposed to have a survey put in the election package and also asking people for donation. And I know that the donation did not cover the price of the election. However, it did put a dent in the spending. And, you know, we're talking about one or two more extra pages that did not really increase the cost of the mailing. Was that dropped completely? Because when you're saying that the election cost is increasing, you know, that's a way of reducing the cost.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was corresponding with Casey today, Casey Peters,
mm-hmm.
and he is intending to put a letter in the balloting asking for support for the cost. So he is doing, we haven't done it since, I think, BI did it 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, but he is planning to do it this time. I was saying, let's try it. So he said he's happy to do that. We'll see how it works out to defray some of the cost.
Okay. Thanks.
Let's see what happens. When you're looking at the administrative costs of the national office, interesting, because we really have tried to drive those costs down. You can see that in a 2004 audit. I'm reading from DR, column DR 1022. We were paying $332,000 for insurance. That includes D&O insurance. It includes liability, fire, earthquake, workers' comp, $332,000 in 2004. And you look at 2005, we've driven those costs down to $291,000. In 2006, $237,000. In 2007, $217,000. We're particularly proud of driving those costs down. And people ask how we did it. Well, we did it by negotiating insurance contracts ourselves rather than totally relying on brokers. And that's worked out. And that's helped us save money in that area because we always look at ways to save money. Legal, in 2004, $89,000. Of course, that was a very contentious year of settlements. And in 2005, $47,000. 2006, last year, only $30,000. But 2007, $58,000. So legal goes up and down given the legal activity in the network. Audit, I'll skip over it, but it's always between $55,000 and $60,000. Other large items in that budget. Total administrative, FY07 this year, $749,000, budgeting $795,408. Flat, roughly. Programming costs, that includes Democracy Now! Mostly, and Free Speech Radio News to some extent, but mostly it's Democracy Now! And a cost related to Democracy Now! And website expenses, that is Pacifica.org, are in there, and also national programming of various sorts. A national programming, that is to say the specials we put on, in 2004, $182,000, it was an election year that year. In 2005, $66,000. As you can see, a good deal of variability. Election years, we do more national programming, it costs more. So $182,000 in 2004. You go to 2005, it drops down to $66,000. And in 2006, a mere $2,000. And then 2007, we'll spend $96,000 in programming. We call it other programming. And there are reasons why you get that variability. But then development costs, which is the cost of mostly of mailing that we do and any events that we do. So it's mostly mailing. And we did $188,000 in 2004. And then $238,005, $481,000 in 2006. We're down to $459,000 in 2007, and next year we'll go down to $454,000. And, you know, basically the reasons are that we spent $459,000 to raise, as you can see, close to $900,000. That's a very good return. If you, almost 100% return. So we think it's financially viable. The rest of it is
quick
community
question on that,
events.
Bonnie.
Don't do much of that. And then finally, we see national office, on paper at least, will have $195,843. I'm reading from line 1130. I just want to hasten to point out that that's $73,000 short of what we need this fiscal, that is to say, in 2 weeks, the end of the fiscal. We're short. We're $73,000. It's more than $73,000. This is the budget. It assumes everybody paid us. Everybody did not pay us. So while on paper they owe us these funds, but they're not in-house and haven't been paid. We're short, even on a budgetary level, $73,000. On the cash level, about $150,000 to $200,000. And we will have to look to borrow money from our investment portfolio.
Lonnie?
In order to pay a bill.
Lonnie?
Just a second.
Another question? Sorry.
Yeah.
So national office is short about $83,000 of their budget.
Yeah, 73.
Would you say that has a lot to do with, but obviously you get a percentage of money raised at the local stations.
Yeah.
So how much of, and I'll be blunt to the point, of money was expected from the stations, specifically WBAI, that's not going to be contributing to the national office budget. Like the percentage that you get is like 10%.
Well, WBAI is definitely a factor. But let me answer, there are three factors that that impacted this year. This is going to be one of the worst years in the last five for Pacifica. If you look at that CFO report, we end up with 312,000. This is going to be the worst year we've had in 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons are, we know the reasons, but let me point out just two or three, and I'll answer that specific WBAI question, Bertrand. Is that we had wanted to raise $11.93 million, and we missed our listener support goal by $1.7 million. Huge factor, that is to say, we're going to receive $1.7 million less in listener support than we budgeted for in FY07. We made up for it somewhat with increasing our donation line. But the difference was not quite enough. So reduced listener support, which is translating to reduced listeners. The network, as I pointed out, lost 250,000 listeners, down from a million in 04, down to about 750, maybe 800,000. That's a couple hundred thousand listeners. And we have reduced expenses and sort of avoided the impact. But that caught up with us in FY07. It's there. The impact is now clear. We were hurt and have been hurt this year by that as a major factor. 200,000 listeners spread across all stations. No stations gained listeners in 07. Not a single station. That's the first factor, I think. That meant that revenue targets for many stations were missed. They weren't able to get the numbers. And that figure is about $250,000 to $350,000. That impacts central services, therefore it impacts the national office, as you can see. WBAI, WBAI missed target by close to $225,000. And they tried to reduce expenses to try to compensate for it and try other off-air kinds of activities, but they owe the central services $200,000. So we've had to compensate, and that's one of the reasons we're going to have to borrow from our reserves to pay stations. If we don't get paid, we can't pay stations the other expenses, other items. And so it's a domino effect. Everybody, we're one network. What happens in one station does affect all of us. And the impact from WBAI is substantial.
Brian here?
Yes, Brian.
A couple quick questions, Lonnie. You have a small increase in your direct mail revenue there, about $40,000.
Yeah.
But your development spending is projected to decrease.
Yeah.
I know postage is higher this year.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Well, what we do is, you notice we do our mailings in September, some of them. And so what we do is we mail to fewer people because our lists are now refined. Such as we don't waste time prospecting. We now have we established our list in the last 3 or 4 years, so we know who to mail to.
Planning on an improved response rate?
Yes, okay. Doing analysis after each mail to say what message worked, what kind of the profile of the people who are responding to our mailings. And so we don't have to mail to as many people, therefore we save on costs that way.
Uh-huh.
The other thing that we do is we mail in the last week or so, middle of September, so that the costs are spread out over two fiscal. The third thing we do is we have an arrangement with KP. I know KPFA uses these folks as well, that we arrange with them to pay for mailings out of proceeds, thereby saving having to put out cash in advance. We use the cash we get from mailings. And our mailings are such that people are responsive, and we get most of our costs back to break even in a month and a half.
But that's not changing from this year to next year.
Well, next year we're slightly down on the cost for mailings, as you can see.
And you're saying that's because you'll be booking income from mailings you're booking the expense for in this year?
Yeah, we're splitting it across two fiscal. That's
okay.
What we're doing.
Da, 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 da. The other question is, I understand you're going to be closing this fiscal owing KPFA some money.
Yes, I knew you would bring that up.
Well, my question is, does a repayment schedule go into the budget?
Huh?
Are you going to put a debt repayment schedule in your cash and capital section of your budget?
No, actually, I'm going to meet that deadline by the end of the month.
You mean by Friday?
Yes.
Okay, good luck. Whoever bless you if you can.
Yes, well,
we'd certainly like to see it.
As best I can. And I'm, you know, piecing together. I'm going to have to borrow some money from our portfolio to do it. But I think that, as I said, the mailing is out, and it's doing $5,000 or $6,000 every 2 days. So the funds are coming in to replace those ones that I'll be paying back. So I'm a little bit, you know, okay with it.
Okay. Final question, and this is my central concern with the budget. We've gone over the station budgets. You're counting on 20% of the listener support that they're all budgeting. As you pointed out, there's downward trends at almost every station this year, certainly at KPFA, KPFK, KPFT, and WBAI. But they're all budgeting, except for KPFA, are all budgeting increases. Now, I get, for instance, what happens at KPFK if the increase they budgeted doesn't come through. They're budgeting increased fundraising to pay for capital. If the fundraising doesn't happen, you just defer the capital expense. What I don't get, because you've got a pretty tight budget here, is what happens if you don't get your 20% from of the optimistic revenue projections at those stations.
Yeah, that's always a risk for us every year. True. Here, what I have done and what I will do is I'll look after the first quarter to see how those first quarter drives have gone. If the drives are okay, then I generally will plan whether they're okay or not to do a mailing in the holiday mailing and increase the holiday mailing that I plan to do as a cushion against the bad drives in January. And that usually works fairly well. And if the January drives are bad, I plan an extra spring drive. And then if that does, a spring mailing, I'm sorry, and then I'll add prospect mailings, which is to say acquisition mailings. And that's one way in which I cope. The other way in which I cope is I will look to reduce some of these line items, that is board expenses. Remember, I ask the board, can we skip a meeting and save sometimes $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000? I'll come to the board and ask for their support in trying to reduce expenses. But that's quite a bit, $50,000, $60,000, which I have done in the past, and I will do it again if it looks that we need to save money some way, somehow. The other things that we do have control over is I will balance off sometimes the cost of a new mailing versus the revenue it may produce, and do it on the saving side. We did that this year, as a matter of fact. We said, let's reduce the mailings, and because it will increase our bottom line by $50,000 or $60,000. So as you can see in this budget, that's what happened. We did, and we were able to get more revenue by doing a much more targeted mailing based on our analysis and experience, so that we could get the same or greater revenue at less expense for the mailing itself. So those are some of the items in our bag of the other thing we do is I don't want to go on forever, but we will start to stretch vendors. Let's say we'll try to push expenses over into next fiscal. We'll then look if we're looking at large dollars still at that point. If there were, for example, a major failure in most stations, that is to say in three of our five or two of our five, we have then a network problem. All stations would be impacted. If that's the case, then all bets are off. I would ask the board to come together for an emergency finance meeting and say, we have a serious issue, and try to strategize on a network basis. Because that is what it will be at that point, a network problem. We've got failure.
Well, I'll tell you, from my point of view, we already have a network problem. because BAI owes you $330,000 and apparently as a consequence you owe us and WPFW some money.
Yeah, that's true.
I support that wholeheartedly, Brian.
So
we do.
My question, I guess my question is, what are you waiting for here? Because what I'm concerned about is that you're budgeting based on pretty optimistic revenue forecasts at the stations, and you don't have a whole lot of discretionary spending in here. We saw national salary expenses increase this year. They increase still further next year, although not as rapidly. And I'm assuming, like this year, the first thing that's going to get cut is the programming budget, which is one of the things y'all do that's most central to your budget, but that's easiest to cut in a crisis because it's not anyone's job in particular. And I'm just worried that it's the expense level you're budgeting for is not prudent given the realities this network's facing.
Well,
I mean, you have almost no cash in the bank as of August 31st on that balance sheet, $143,000, I think.
Where are you reading from, Brian?
The balance sheet you sent out with your consolidated budgets.
$143,000?
$144,000 cash in bank.
Or
current liability $73,000.
Oh, you're talking about the national. Oh, I thought you were talking.
Yeah.
Network wide. Yeah, but I'll quote you, Brian. When you have a situation like this, the question is, how do you approach it? And I'm hearing you ask that question. The first thing you do is you assess what is the risk level. So how many dollars at risk here? That's the first question you want to know. There's the revenue risk side, then look at the revenue side. Well, what are the chances that the revenue targets will be met? Well, there's the answer. The answer there on the risk on the at line 973 in the national offices, if that's what you're talking about, is $60,000. That's not a lot of risk. So there's not much risk on the revenue side. So you go down to the expense side. You say, is there much risk on the expense side? That is to say, missing the target, if you're talking just about the national office. Expenses, total expenses at line 1242, national office, $561,000. Then you look at what's being budgeted, $643,000. About $80,000 increase in expenses. Yeah, a gift could easily wipe that out as a risk factor. So there's not a lot of dollar risk in the budget. That's how.
But it sounds like your worst-case scenario is that the stations raise as much as they did this year. My worst-case scenario is that the station fundraising, on-air fundraising, continues to decline.
Well, let's separate out station risk from the risk of dollar risk in this budget. We just dealt with dollar risk in this budget. Now let's go to the station risk.
Well, it's a direct risk to the national office because you're budgeting based on 20% of listener support.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, but they're not exactly the same, okay? That's true, but they're not identical. So there's not a lot of dollar risk in the national office budget. We just went over that one. So let's talk about risk from the station. So you go up to and see what is that risk on the station level on the revenue side. So you look at line 27, where you're trying to look at risk from the stations, which is on the revenue side. You go to Y27, you'll see that this year network as a whole raised $17,139,000. And they're looking to raise $18,004,000. That is an increase, $1.3 million. That is where the risk is, that the station will not be able to raise the revenue. That's true. It's undeniable. But then you want to also know what is the expense risk from the station. Then you go to line 174, and you realize that at 174, stations have virtually kept their expenses flat. The network expenses, if you look at Y174, 16.7 are the expenses this year. Next year, 16.9. Only a couple $150,000 increase in expenses. That's quite remarkable.
Lonnie?
Yeah.
Can I interject here for a while?
Yeah. I'll just finish this thought, but first, to answer Brian's question. Aren't we at risk?
That's before capital, though. You have to tack on another $330,000 for your budgeted capital increase.
Yeah. Aren't we at risk on the revenue side? Yes, we are at risk on the revenue side. And that's an issue. That's an issue. The solution, what do you do? Well, you look at the first quarter results. because it's the first, as I said before, you look at the first quarter, you read in my CFO report, I make these same recommendations, is that you look at the first quarter results. If they are down, then stations have to re-budget. We have to start all over again because the budget won't be sustainable with a bad fall drive scenario. And
Lonnie?
Hmm?
Lonnie, if you can just wrap up so Virgil.
I'm wrapping up right now. If you do that, the options questions that you have, I've laid out in my CFO report as two or three what you do. I've laid out my recommendations on the last two or three. What do you do when you have that kind of scenario? I've sort of put those out there. Okay.
Okay, Bert?
Virgil.
Okay. When Brian was asking about what was the risk factor, and then you mentioned about the risk factor on the revenue side, but you're basing the risk factor on the numbers that were raised last year. But on the numbers that were raised last year, many stations, you know, did not, you know, balance out their budget. So because the revenue was not up to par. So the actual risk factor on the revenue side is a lot more than what you are saying. Because you are not, you know, basing it on actual, but on, you know, I mean, you're basing it on previous budget, on previous actual, which were not up to par with what was expected and what we needed to actually at least break even. Now, you also mentioned the fact that we have to look at the first quarter results and then take action and re-budget. We keep doing that. We've been doing that for the past 4 years. At WBAI, specifically, I'm talking about BAI because I'm from BAI. I know this a little more, that we keep doing that. And actually, last year, we said we were going to pass the budget, look at the first quarter, and monitor the station, which we didn't do. You know, it fell by the wayside. You know, so I do not buy that. At the best case scenario, like Brian was saying, to project in a prudent budget where there has been a constant decline, is that we would assume we are making the same amount of money that we made last year, you know, and that the fulfillment rate will be the same. So now everything else that we are making extra. Increase in listeners' sponsored revenue or a decrease in expenses, we could actually have a contingency plan to see what would be the priorities for extra money that would come from that prudent budget. But we should not go with this budget as is. We talk about the national budget, but the problem is it's linked directly to all the local budget. And I'm not sure when we're going to go specifically into WBAI or all the other budget, or if we're going to keep them separately, or if we're going to mix it up now. Because if we're going to mix it up now, that email that I sent, I want to speak to it. You know, for WBAI 2006-2007, the listener sponsor support was 2.8 million. The fulfillment rate, even Yulani, came with 78%.
This is Jane. I'd like to get on the
set. Now, in 2007-2008 budget, we're assuming a 2.9 million, almost 3 million. We shaved off 57,000 of it, and we're assuming an 83% fulfillment rate. That is not prudent. We have not done anything different. We have not made any planning, long-term planning, to show how we're going to address that. Now, if we actually went on and did that, that would be great. But we cannot assume we're going to do that because we have shown a history of, for example, fulfillment rate of between 79.6%, the highest, to 67% during the coup time. So I do not understand how we can assume we're going to go to an 83% fulfillment rate. So that's that. I'm assuming at all the other stations we have the same issues. And this issue is like not only to budget, you know, to be fair to Yulani, it's also linked to programming, the structuring of all the local stations, what's being done, how is management being accountable and doing their job or not doing their job, and I'm putting it to the board and to the people listening that it is about time that the finance issue and the programming and management issue are all linked together, and the national board get together and figure out if we have to fire or hire management, we're not doing their job, if we have to get together and figure out how to design a plan by which we're going to change the way we do business to attract listeners, you know, while we still have a potent message. And basically, like for all this mumbo-jumbo talking, I'm basically saying that for a $2.9 budget, compared to last year, $2.8 million budget at 78% fulfillment rate. And if that's done throughout the network, we are in deep trouble, and we're going to crash. Thank you.
Dave is next. Yeah. Dave?
Thanks. Yeah. So before I go on a little bit, I just want to say that I think, I'm not sure, but I think everybody on this finance committee has really appreciated how much work Lonnie and the finance division have done, both in trying to raise money through mail drops and in trying to satisfy everybody's demands. So, Lonnie, as we're saying this, just be clear, it's not a critique of you personally. And I also, we're very appreciative of that work. I also want to address some of what Berthold said, which is the reason that we don't scale back in our budgeting and then scale forward if we get more money than we expect is what we all know. It's a political issue, because to scale back means you're cutting funding for something and somebody. And because of all of the dynamics of political stasis, factionalism, what have you, it's difficult for anybody to say, okay, we're going to scale back funding right there, because they're advocates for any position and any spending. And so as a result, you end up with a budget that's stuck, and the easiest thing to do is to just scramble to try and make the money. And it's only when an absolutely unmanageable crisis comes that you actually make structural change. So I happen to agree with Bert and with Brian. You know, we are at that stage now where we'll be better off planning for less money and having to make a hard decision earlier than doing it in a reactive way. The only way I see we can do that is a motion by this committee that we'll need a budget that cuts spending by a certain amount, and an agreement by the board that we're going to do a rebudgeting, a budget adjustment later in the year, because there's not time, that reduces our estimates. And you get that agreement from the board before you go identifying where cuts happen. Because as soon as you say, well, we're going to reduce spending and it's going to be reduced there and there, everybody says, no, you can't touch that. The other thing is we're going to have a new executive director coming in, and so that executive director is going to need to be intimately involved in that planning. And some of it's going to have to do with having to move, you know, how we, where we allocate our resources. And we're going to have to do what we haven't done, which is establish some priorities and agree that other things that are very important can't be a priority and can't be spent. So I think that a motion out of this committee, a recommendation that we do a rebudgeting to reflect reduced spending at both at the national level and elsewhere would be a good idea. The last thing I want to say is I'm concerned. I know we may expect a bump that we get in election years because of people's interest in our public affairs and politics, but what's happening in the housing market and in the consumer economy is going to hit us. And a lot of people, I don't know if KPFA is like this area, but I know in the area I live, a lot of people who are house rich, by which I mean they were living off refinanced mortgages, were giving money, substantial money, to Pacifica stations. And I don't know if we're going to see the same level of giving. So I do think that one thing I'd like from you, Lonnie, is an estimate of a target number. If we could trim this much money, we know that given past experience, we have breathing room. And then I think we need to face up to those difficult decisions rather than doing it reactively when it hits.
Point of information, Dave?
Yeah.
Chair to Dave. So basically restating the expenses to what would be reasonable. Before we do that, we would have to restate the revenue to what is reasonable, so that we can see to what extent we have to restate the expenses, right?
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, we mandate the construction of a budget that meets a lower target, and that it takes them a period of time, but then they come back with that budget that says, in order to do this, you would have to cut somewhere. And we're going to have to agree to cut somewhere. I mean, everybody knows I feel very strongly about the request for proposals project, because I think that's how you get new efforts. But if, you know, and I don't know, I was going to ask where in this budget is that or is it. But if something's got to be cut, you know, we may have to lose that, but as opposed to what else? I know that there are motions coming from other committees calling for increases in budgets at every turn. But until and unless the board agreed that we have to have a budget that meets a lower revenue target, what we're dealing with is Lonnie trying to accommodate essentially everybody who's saying, no, I need at least this much money. And I don't think it's his fault that the way that was done was, and had to be done, was by optimistic revenue targets, because there was no place to cut. I also think in the long run, the size of our national office is an ongoing problem until it gets to the point where it itself is raising a certain amount of money, which could be in the offing depending on how effectively we deploy our resources on the technology front. But that's another story for another time.